Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, today, this hour, we're going to be doing something called a spiritual reset. I did this for the first time on Live the Promise, I want to say about 5 years ago, and we re-aired that show a couple of times because you asked us to bring it back and to do it again. And then I did another reset show about a couple of years ago, and again, just heard requests, can we do this again and try to do it more often? What is a spiritual reset, you ask? Well, today we're going to talk about three areas of our lives, and whether you're at home where you can just grab a cup of tea and grab your Bible and a notebook, or you're driving in the car, you can do this. We can do this together. But I just want you to take a deeper look, consider on a deeper level, just create this hour of space to consider what God might want to say to you about your time, about your treasure, and around your talents, because you are living and breathing on the earth for such a time as this. You matter. Your testimony matters. The gifts that God has given you, they matter. The dreams he's put in your heart, they all matter. And the thing is, we are prone to wander. You know the old hymn, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave this God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I pray that all the time. This is a chance for us to just pause and go, has the rat race current pulled me off course? Have I turned a couple of degrees so I'm not aiming true north anymore? And I want to just start out by saying there is now, therefore, no condemnation. So as we look at maybe ways that we're spending our time where God is just saying, let's tweak this, let's reset this. And maybe some of you have some drastic changes and decisions to make around your time. We're going to do this without any condemnation. Remember this. I say it all the time, and I think it's an important message. You get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. We all wander, and this is why it's good to stop and go, okay, I sort of lost my way in this area, all right? So I want you to approach the throne of grace with a boldness and a humility and a confidence. You need to know this. Jesus loves you. With all of his heart, he loves you. With all of his heart, he delights in every detail of your life. And the reason that you want his best will for you is because his will is your best case scenario. So first, we're going to talk about time. And I want you to know I'm going to be drawing from the content of three of my books, Your Beautiful Purpose, Your Powerful Prayers, and Your Sacred Yes. And I'll do a couple readings from Streams in the Desert, one of my go-to devotionals. I'm super excited to give away today in this hour two three-book bundles, all right? So two of you will get three books, Your Beautiful Purpose, Your Powerful Prayers, Your Sacred Yes. And we'll do it the old-fashioned way, the drawing way. So you can email me at any time throughout the show, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And you can put spiritual reset just on the email so I know that these are the books you're vying for. And two of you will get a copy, three copies. So that's about a $45 gift. Love to do that for you. So let's talk time. Psalm 90:12 says this, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, teach us to number our days. So when we start to number our days, our spirit eyes open up. We acquire a new depth of wisdom. So what does it mean to number our days? If we want to be wiser with the way that we approach our moments and our time, we need to number the days. So what does it mean? Well, I studied that passage, and to number our days means to anoint the day. It means to appoint the day. It means to claim the day as a sacred gift from Almighty God. And for that reason, ever since I understood that passage on a deeper level, I do this every morning. I slip out of bed, and before I stand, I bow. I get on my knees, and I just bow low, and I open my hands and just say, you know, you are God, and I serve you, and glorify your name, and give me a heart for that which pleases you. Help me to be kind, and help me not to miss kindnesses. And I just open my day just honoring God. And I ask you this, when you think about your time, when you think about the invitation, in fact, the charge to number your days so that you may gain a heart of wisdom, I want you to think about what are you saying yes to these days? What are you saying no to these days? Because what happens often is we get caught up in the rat race culture, and then we miss the best of what God has for us. So I'm going to read the introduction of my book, Your Sacred Yes, and then we'll play a song, and this will give you just a chance to prayerfully consider what it is God is saying to you. And here it is from the introduction. I have a question for you. Are we missing it? Have we, as God's people who endure this crazy-paced culture, given away a mindset that looks for and enjoys the presence of God? Have we allowed the precious gift of expectancy to slip through our fingers? How often do we cup our hand to our ear and listen to heaven's song over our lives? I want you to ask yourself that. How often do you really do that? Where you stop, you bend an ear, and you say, I want to hear your song over me, Lord. I want to be reminded again how you feel about me and what you've called me to. I'll continue reading here. Are we so bogged down with life-draining commitments that we've forgotten how good a belly laugh feels or how rich a time of quiet prayer can be? Do we relegate praise and worship to an hour on Sunday and thereby miss out on singing at the top of our lungs every other day of the week? Has it occurred to us that God longs for us to take a more life-giving path than we're on? Has it occurred to you that God maybe has a more life-giving path than the one that you're currently on? Well, sometimes we overcommit for all the wrong reasons: pride, insecurity, fear, hastiness. Other times we have the best of intentions for giving our time away: a good cause, a great need, there's nobody else. Either way, we need to ask ourselves some probing questions. Do the majority of our yeses increase our faith and fill us with a greater expectancy of how God is moving in our midst? Or do they drain us to the point that we find ourselves weary, simply rushing from one thing to the next? Pause there and think about that. Do the vast majority of your yeses increase your faith and give you even greater expectancy that there is a God in heaven who's involved in your life? Or do your yeses leave you feeling drained, worn out, and tired, just wanting a break? Are we captive to our commitments? Or are we free to respond to God's invitation to do life with him? And is our current path a catalyst to increasing joy and faith? Or does all of our rushing make us more prone to worry and fear? When we honestly assess the time that we give away to our various commitments, do we find behind it all a divinely inspired soul growing in grace and strength? Or are we a spent and weary soul, losing steam by day? Nothing drains us more than signing up for things God never asked us to do. I want you to hear that again. Nothing drains us more than signing up for things God never asked us to do. But that's where we often lose our way. We live shackled to others' opinions, expectations, and requirements. We give away our yes because of a lie. We commit to things in order to save face. And as a result, we miss out on God's invitation to fully entrust ourselves to him. Days will fly by and the sacred moments will continue to elude us until we decide to hit the brakes and take inventory of what is driving us. So that's why I ask you, I challenge you, take inventory during this song and consider, what is it that's driving you? And you know why this matters? It's because you matter and your call matters. And we're going to play a song called, I drew all these songs from Hillsong Worship, its amazing album, Let There Be Light. In just a moment, we're going to play a song called Grace to Grace. And as we listen to the song, some questions I want you to ask yourself are these. One, what adjustments might God want me to make regarding my time? What adjustments might God want me to make regarding my time? And what does faith look like here? What does faith look like here? The song you're going to hear in just a moment, it's called Grace to Grace. And the lyrics are absolutely beautiful. We'll play in just a moment. And it goes like this, again, by Hillsong. If love endured that ancient cross, how precious is my Savior's blood. The beauty of heaven wrapped in my shame, the image of love upon death's frame. If having my heart was worth the pain, what joy could you see beyond the grave? If love found my soul worth dying for, how wonderful, how glorious, my Savior's scars victorious. My chains are gone, my debt is paid, from death to life and grace to grace. This song just proclaims grace, proclaims freedom. And the reason I chose it is because you are free to be a work in progress. You are free. You have nothing to prove, and you have all of eternity to live for. So as you use this song time, again, whether you can journal or just drive in your car, I just invite you. In fact, let me just pray for you right now. Use this time in this song to dare to ask God, open your hands and just ask him, what needs to go in my schedule? In what ways do I need to engage my faith? In what ways have I been postponing obedience? What would a leap of faith look like? And if you trust him today, he'll get you where you need to go tomorrow, right? Well, Father, I pray for my friend listening today, and you love this person so very much. So grab their face, breathe life into them, speak to their hearts, and immediately show them what needs to go and what needs to join their schedule, what you want to do, how you want them to engage, how you want them to let go, in what ways you want them to surrender, and what ways you want them to step up. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, we've got three book bundles. I'd love to, or two, I should say, of three books. Email me if you want a chance at the three books, Your Beautiful Purpose, Your Powerful Prayers, Your Sacred Yes. Email me your address, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Listen in. Pause here and take a break, but I want you to continue on just pondering what God might have to say to you. Remember, your time matters because you matter, and we need to live with eternity in mind. Every offering that you give him, God multiplies. We'll be back in a minute.
Come on, you see. When I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see that grave, I see Jesus. And from death to life, I will sing.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really glad to have you listening. We're doing something we've done a couple of times before and received great feedback. It's a spiritual reset. We're taking some time. This time, this reset is about our time, our treasure, and our talents. So if you just tuned in, you missed that first section, I pray you go back and catch the podcast. We just spent some time exploring. What about our schedule? What about our yeses? Might God want to adjust? And as I talk a little bit about each of these topics, then we play some music and just give you some time prayerfully to just look up and ask God for yourself. What does he want to say to you about your schedule, about your treasure, about your talents? Again, never for condemnation, never even obligation. Always about invitation. I'm drawing from my books, Your Beautiful Purpose, Your Sacred Yes, and Your Powerful Prayers during this time. So I brought in 2 3-book bundles, okay? So a copy of Sacred Yes, copy of Powerful Prayers, a copy of Beautiful Purpose. So 2 of you will get a 3-book bundle. We're doing it that old-fashioned way. Just email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And then don't forget your mailing address and put maybe reset or something on the email so I know this is the bundle that you're looking for, all right? Susie@myfaithradio.com. So we talk time. Let's talk for a moment about our treasure. Jesus said in Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we drift. We don't even realize how we drift. But where we sow is where our treasure goes. And what we attach ourselves to is what our heart beats for. This is why we got to pay attention and step back and think, am I thinking eternal? You know, Scripture says it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house where there's a party, because we love parties. Of course we do. And there's a place for belly laughing. Absolutely. But a house of mourning seems to put life back in perspective. At a house where there's a party, you throw caution to the wind and you're not thinking about much. At a house of mourning, you're remembering. Your life flashes before your very eyes. You remember that there are some things that are eternal and a lot that's temporary, that's fleeting, right? People are eternal. God's word is eternal. Your gift offerings, they're eternal. Your faith seeds that you sow, those are eternal. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, we consider and look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporary, they're brief, they're fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. I'm going to read an excerpt, another excerpt out of my book, Your Sacred Yes, and this is really a close-up look, very personal time in my life. Got permission from my family to include this in the book, but this was my dad's last hours, and I just want to share it with you as just a reminder that your loved ones, you know, none of us know how much time we have, and we need to treat our loved ones, we need to treat our enemies and our strangers as if they bear the mark of God, and we are called to love them, to be kind to them, to sacrifice for them. And this might be the reset where you stop pursuing status and power and trying to climb a ladder that's up against the wrong building, and you stop and pull back and go, okay, it's time to reset. Let me just share with you. I miss my dad. He was both snarky and kind, a loving grandpa and sometimes a grouchy old thing. He made us laugh, he challenged us to think, and he never sugarcoated his words. With strong leadership, he guided our family, 7 kids, all of us, married, 19 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren. We all knew how much he loved us. He would have given his life for his family. My dad went to be with Jesus a few years ago. I'll never forget the last few hours of his time on earth. Racked with pain, he wrestled between restless discomfort and total unresponsiveness. He chose hospice care at home, wrapped in a blanket, slouched in his favorite chair in the living room. My mom and brothers and sisters and I surrounded him. We felt overwhelmed and sad and so wished we could do more to make him comfortable. The pain that racked his body broke our hearts. The room felt oppressive and thick with despair. My mom left his side and walked into the kitchen. She buried her face in her hands and wept. My sisters and I got up and went over to her, and her chest just heaved as she hyperventilated. She couldn't steady herself. The man she loved and lived with for almost 60 years was about to leave this earth. Inconsolable, she wrapped her arms around us and cried, I'm having a hard time breathing. My heart is breaking, and I think my blood pressure is way up. I need you to pray for me and pray for your dad. Suddenly, Luke 10:19 came to mind. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. My sisters and I pulled our mom close and invited Jesus into the center of our heartbreak. We took authority over that anxiety that threatened to swallow our mom alive. We prayed for her heart, for her blood pressure, and for her whole soul to know the peace of God. Then we looked over at our dad, and with the authority of Christ in us, we spoke to that pain that raged inside of him. We asked God to calm that storm, to give our dad peace, and to usher him safely from this life to the next. After that prayer, everything changed. My mom's blood pressure settled down. My dad's countenance softened. The room filled with peace. My brother Jeff opened his Bible and he read the 23rd Psalm. We were on holy ground. My brother Greg pulled out his guitar and sang one of my dad's favorite songs, The Old Rugged Cross. We harmonized softly with passion. Tears streamed down our faces. My sister Karen scooted up close to my dad's good ear and sang a beautiful song to him titled Welcome Home. Then she pulled out a love letter my mom had written to my dad for his 80th birthday. Her voice broke as she reminded my dad how much she loved him. Heaven was near. We could feel it in our skin. My mom traded places with Karen and nestled close to my dad. She put her wrinkled hands on his face, and through her tears, she declared her love for our papa. She said, Ed, you are, and always will be, the love of my life. I love you, honey. Thank you for all the wonderful years together. You've been a fighter for so long, and you've fought a good fight. It's okay to rest now and go be with Jesus. Our sobs filled the room. Dad was totally unresponsive at this time. The dark room, which had felt oppressive only minutes before, emanated suddenly with unfathomable peace. We surrounded Dad and silently prayed for him. We embraced our last moments with him. Suddenly, his eyes opened wide. He looked up to the corner of the room near the ceiling, and he smiled like he saw something familiar and comforting. Then he locked gaze on my mom. He reached out his arm for her and pulled her face to his. He took a few more breaths, then he went home to Jesus. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. My dad finished his race. He loved us. He loved Jesus. Oh, how I miss him. Life is sacred. Death is sacred. May we all live well so we can finish well. None of us knows how many days God has assigned to us on earth, but we have today. We have God's presence and his promises, and we're called to think long, to think past this life, to live with eternity in mind. We have today. We don't know about tomorrow. So this moment, this gift from God, may we open our hands and offer it back to Jesus. May we live, move, and find our life completely and profoundly in him. Because we're so close to the bottom of the hour break, we have to postpone that song to the other side. But I pray that reading just reminded you how quickly life can change. And if you're holding a grudge, if you left the house mad at your spouse, text them, call them, love them. Life's too precious to hold on to grudges, to harbor unforgiveness, to nurse a wound in a way that makes us worse, not better. Where's your treasure? In fact, I challenge you to consider, how are you spending your money? Are you sowing into things of the kingdom? I'm stepping on toes here, but I'm just asking, how are you loving those in your circle? How do you pray for those who seem like arch enemies? We are kingdom people. We are more spiritual than physical. So it is time for a reset, to live with eternity in mind. Email me if you want in on that book bundle, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. We're going to hear a song on the other side to give you a chance to think eternity. So don't go away. More when we come back.
This is how love wins. Can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again?
Wanted to let that song play out a bit. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, doing something a little different. We've done this a couple of times before, but backed by popular request, it's a spiritual reset show. You just tuned in. We spent that first half hour talking about our time and our treasure. And in a little bit, we'll talk about our talents. But this is what we do on a spiritual reset show. We just spend a little bit of time talking about three different topics. And then I place a song. And then I pose a question for you to consider, to prayerfully consider. And if you're at home where you've got a journal or notebook in your Bible, then you can journal your prayers. But some of you I know listen through by riding your tractor or riding in the car. I want you to take the time however you're able, but look up and prayerfully consider what God might be saying to you here. I'm drawing content from three of my books, Your Sacred Yes, Your Beautiful Purpose, and Your Powerful Prayers. So I'm going to give away three book bundles today during this hour. Email me if you'd like in on the drawing. Two of you get a stack, so you'd get Sacred Yes, Your Beautiful Purpose, and Your Powerful Prayers. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with an S at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. So prior to the break, we talked about our treasure, where our treasure is. Jesus is where your treasure is. There your heart is. So the reset questions here are these. What earthly things have you been clinging to at the expense of the eternal? Power, maybe? Position? Possessions? As we play this song, amazing song from Hillsong Worship, it's called As It Is in Heaven. I dare you to open your hands and surrender and ask God to give you an eternal perspective with regards to your loved ones, your blessings, and even with the story that you tell yourself about your life. I mean, that even speaks so much. If you're telling yourself a wrong narrative, that you're so irritated, you're so annoyed, you're jealous of your have-not, you're going to live like that. And that's not living with eternity in mind. You know what? We have no idea. It's unfathomable all that God has made available to us that we never apprehend because we don't engage our faith. So as you think about your treasures and your material possessions, you think about your loved ones, maybe during this song you consider, have I been taking my loved ones for granted? Have I been ranting about my enemies instead of praying for them? Have I been clinging to my paycheck and instead of engaging my faith and putting some faith seeds in the ground because I am more spiritual than physical? I dare you to ask God, what am I clinging to? What do you want from me? Because again, his will for you is your best case scenario. As you listen to this amazing song, you remember death is not our end. Heaven waits for us. But even in the not yet, even now as we wait, we've got something of God in us and his kingdom comes. His will is done in and through us when we trust him. Let's listen in.
While I'm waiting, I'm not waiting.
Imagine the end of your life. Picture the multitudes celebrating your presence on this earth. They rise up, they praise God because of how your life impacted theirs. All of your sowing, all of your reaping, your praying and your believing, your trusting and obeying, listen, has created a harvest of life all around you. You gave Jesus your yes, and he multiplied it in ways you could never have imagined. Picture Jesus with that smile that reaches to his eyes, ready to greet you. He stretches his arms open wide. He wraps you up in a hug. And with his precious nail-scarred hands, he holds your shoulders. He looks into your eyes and he says, "Thank you, dear one. Well done. You did it. You've been so faithful with all I've entrusted to you. Now come and see what I've been up to."
As it is, so let it be.
There's some good music out there, isn't there? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Doing something a little different today, back by popular request. A couple times over the last few years, I've done something called a spiritual reset, where we devote a show to three particular topics and play music in between, addressing the points. So you have just some time in God's presence to pause and maybe reset your course if you need to. Today, we've been talking about time, treasure, and talents. If you just tuned in, I pray you'll go back and catch the whole podcast because it's really been a precious time. I'm drawing content from my books, Your Beautiful Purpose, Your Powerful Prayers, and Your Sacred Yes. And for that reason, I'm going to offer two book bundles to two of you. So two of you will get a three-book bundle of each of these books, right? The Purpose, Prayer, and the Yes book. So if you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with an S at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address and put reset, spiritual reset, so I know that's the book bundle that you want. Talking now about, we've talked time, treasure, talents now, just stewardship. I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, and this is Jesus talking, and he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he'll sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence." Imagine this, okay? "All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when do we ever see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick in prison and visit you?' And the king will tell them, 'I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me.'" And then he's got something else to say to those who live for themselves. And some even acted like they were Christians. They used Jesus' name. They wanted to be part of the group. But he didn't. They didn't have the spirit in them. They weren't living for him, right? I want to just ask you now, as you think of your talents, of the gifts, and your talents really are your time and your treasure and the gifts that God has given you. You're blessed to be a blessing. So what is God saying to you about your next place of promise? This excerpt now is from Your Beautiful Purpose. I'm just going to read it to you, and I pray you'll prayerfully think about this. He loves to speak to us about his divine desires for us. Imagine if your child came to you and said, "Mom, Dad, if I could live out your best dreams for me, what would they be?" Wouldn't you just sweep your child up in your lap and sing a song to him? And well, it's the same with God. We serve a star-breathing God whose promises are for us, that we might live more boldly and faithfully for him. He deserves our humble reverence. His victory on the cross gives us access to the throne to which he invited us to boldly come. Oh, the love of Jesus and the promises of God. Don't leave God's offer of a life redeemed and abundant to go unapprehended. Don't let go of the wonder that he made himself available to you. God knows when he calls us, he's getting our imperfect selves. He knows we'll stumble and fall along the way, and he's made provision for our weakness. But in the high and the low points of our journey, he wants to engage our faith. Will we trust him, whom our eyes cannot see, or will we lean more heavily on the sinking sand beneath our feet? May we determine in our stormy seasons that nothing is ever impossible with God. May we rejoice that God loves to take the things that are not to nullify the things that are. That's what Scripture says. And you know why? Because we are not a lot of things. The more we pray for vision, revelation, and faith, the more God fills us with desire and purpose. The more we lean in to him during the painful refining times, the more he shows us what in us still needs to go before he takes us to a new land. Since we are works in progress, may we hold tightly to these truths every step of the way. His promises are true. He means what he says, and he loves it when we live lives totally disproportionate to who we are. By daring to dream with God, humbly trust his process, and to live by faith, we will develop an appetite for the impossible. Living in a way that constantly engages our faith will make us love God more today than all of our yesterdays combined. Okay, the song I want you to hear now is, and I just lost it. Tell me what it is, Matt. There it is, "Let There Be Light." Oh, my goodness, this is such a good song. As we start to think about our lives, as you start to think about, again, your time, your treasure, your talents, the thing is, we all have blind spots, and our fears sometimes win the day. But God wants us to know his love to such a degree that fear doesn't win the day, because perfect love casts out fear. When you think about your gifts and your dreams, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know whose you are, you'll spend your life misusing your gifts, your talents, your passions to prove something that Jesus has already proven. Again, you have nothing to prove and all of eternity to live for. You got no one to impress. Jesus paid it all, and now you can live the rest of your life in response to him. And that means you're free to fail, to trip up, to not get it right all the time, but you're also free to dream big, dream beyond you, that you would live a life totally disproportionate to who you are. Jesus doesn't regret the cross. He doesn't regret dying for you. He's glad he did, and he's delighted to do it. Let's play a portion of this song. Oh, you want me to read a little bit more? He's given me, okay, I have one more thing I want to share, and this is from my book, Your Powerful Prayers. And as a reminder, we're giving 2 3-book bundles away. Just email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Here's another excerpt before we play this next song. I used to think of being shameless in only negative terms, someone with no social awareness or sense of common decorum, someone with no fear of God and no concern for others. And while that alarming aspect of our culture is growing by leaps and bounds, shameless also has positive attributes: unconcealed, undisguised, transparent, unashamed. Jesus invites us into his presence without shame, without our past baggage, without the need to cover ourselves or to be someone we're not, without the enemy's constant taunts in our ear telling us we're not enough, and without the self-deprecating slurs we constantly hurl at ourselves. He wants us in his presence, full and free, healed and whole, expectant and full of faith. Jesus wants to heal us deeply so we'll more readily believe that he loves us completely. I want you to hear that again. Jesus wants to heal us deeply so we'll more readily believe that he loves us completely. And when we start to grasp how secure we are in him, we will be more apt to pray and believe from that sturdy place. We'll learn to trust his promises. We'll learn to rely on his goodness. And we'll learn to rest on his unchanging grace. Listen, the less shame has its hold on us, the more bravely and boldly we'll dare to pray. Of course, this doesn't mean we ever dictate to God, but it does mean we get to have constant and continual conversations with God. And our appeal means so much to God that he moves and answers in a way that's completely and totally disproportionate to who we are or to what we could ever dream or accomplish on our own. Let us, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace, excited, assured, expectant, and full of joy. We belong to a sovereign, good, kind, powerful, and loving Father who doesn't treat us as our sin warrants. He loves us with a power and a grace that changes us from an orphan to an heir. May we finally live and believe and pray and breathe like it's true. The reset question I have for you now is, Lord, what needs to change? What do I need to let go of? What does obedience look like today so I can get to my place of promise tomorrow? Yes, Lord, that is the cry of our heart. Have your way in us. God, I pray you take away our taste for that which weakens us. Lord, we reject self-pity. We reject inferiority and insecurity. And we claim faith. We claim hope. We claim love. May the kingdom of God awaken us to live as ones who are spoken for. We love you, Lord. We say thank you so much for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen.